know you're gonna dig this.
Welcome to the End Zone Club, where we have conversations that are designed to push you from walking in potential to fulfilling your purpose and introducing our host, Anthony Mitchell.
Yo, 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 what's up, everybody? This is Anthony Mitchell. Just wanted to say that we have some company today, meaning I got a special guest who's going to keep it hot, flavorful. But before I introduce him, I do have to say, whatever platform you were streaming this podcast from, please give us a like, a share, a rate, a subscription. Help us to get this content out to the four corners of the world. But before we do so, we got to hear from our sponsors. So stay tuned.
This is an extreme transparent moment for me. I am working out after I had my last baby. Just in a few short weeks, baby will turn one. It took 9 months to create her and nurture her in my body, and it's taken almost 1 year to get back in my ideal shape. So come along with me on this journey as I return to healthy, wealthy, and wise.
Welcome back. Well, it brings me great joy to introduce to my audience a young man whose light is shining brightly in the community as a mentor, teacher, coach, minister, and overall good person. Help me in welcoming to the microphone none other than Mr. Donald Aaron. Dr. Brother, how you doing, sir?
What's going on, my brother? I'm glad to be here. Glad to be able to speak amongst the people and share my life experiences, man.
Good. So I know it's been a minute since you and I have had a chance to lock in with much conversation, but bro, take a second to catch our listeners up with who you are and what you do.
Okay, my name is Donald Aaron. I'm from Foxworth, Mississippi. What I do a variety of things now. I coach at West Marion High School. I do assistant coach for the West Marion High School for the boys. And I do junior high girls as well. I do JV boys. I teach at the junior high, 8th grade junior high for Cyber Foundations too. I'm a minister along with my dad. He's a pastor at New Harvest Worship Center in Columbia, Mississippi. And I'm the one of those guys, man, that loves sports. I'm a basketball fanatic, love basketball. That kind of like something that kind of modeled my life, you know, throughout time. In a variety of ways that we're gonna delve into in a few. But other than that, man, I'm also a person that loves to go work out. That's like a therapy session for me, you know, working with the kids, whatnot. But those are a few things that I just love to do.
You know, you kind of set me up for my next question when you talked about how you like to hoop, because I kind of thought you were casually going to mention that you were the toughest basketball assignment that I ever faced. But just in case any of your students are listening, I had to put that out there. But to be real, I always wanted to hear the backstory on how you developed into the ball player that you were.
Well, I had grew up in a neighborhood with great basketball players like Marco Freelitz. I got to give him a shout out. And some of my relatives that's around the way. Also, one person that mentored me that everybody familiar with is Ty Daniels. He stayed not too far from me in Foxworth, so I always kind of watched him, watched how he worked out. You know, that's a hometown hero for us, you know. Of course, I love Michael Jordan and, you know, grew up on Allen Iverson and things like that. But when it comes to, like, just in the neighborhood, Todd Daniels really kind of modeled my game. And I watched him, I studied him, and he used to break me off pretty good. But instead of just, you know, leaving off pride, what I did was I asked him, like, what are you doing? How do you do these moves, or how you pull these jump shots off, or how you explode to the rim or whatever like that. And I took those things and added to my game. So each one teach one.
That's important, really, honestly, to have mentorship and to be in a position where we can be honest about it. Because, you know, no matter how good you are at something, somebody had to have poured into you. But I want to segue a little bit, because as you got older, of course, we all who have seen you play knew you had a phenomenal crossover, quick first step, you could shoot, and most importantly, you weren't a selfish player. So a lot of people knew who you were because your game spoke for itself. And as people who know you as a player are aware and still talk about it to this day, who was that one guy that was placed in front of you as a challenge that made you dig deeper into your toolbox and made you give them all you had?
Oh, man, Torrey Crumity from Dexter High School. He was the most important person that I never met somebody that was quicker than I was, or probably could jump higher than I could. And he and I heard so much about him. But when I first played against him, he made me believe. So that after the first time we played, I really had to lock in. You know, you ever had just no sleepless nights, or, you know, you were so anxious to play, to just compete? He was one of those people that I got ready for every single night. There were others too, but he was the first one that I really needed to, give me a second. I really needed to, you know, take on the challenge. And he brought the best out of me.
I remember another name you probably have forgotten, but I haven't. And that's Monte Ellis.
Oh, Monte? Well, Monte was a little bit younger than I was.
Okay.
Uh-huh. That was, now, who he challenged and who he played against was Oscar Rayford.
Gotcha. So,
yeah, but I did watch him live, man.
I wanted to start off first talking about basketball.
Can you still hear
because
me?
I felt like our love for sports was something we shared. But there was something about you that was more evident the older we got, especially as we went from high school into college. And that was basketball was what you did, but it wasn't who you were.
Yes.
You know where I'm going with this?
Yes. Yeah, man. Want me to, you want me to expound on that?
You don't mind.
Oh, well, of course, that's something that I really love, right? But when I transitioned from high school to college, I really didn't get too many offers, which it kind of sucked at the time. And, you know, I tried out for various teams, whatever. But the thing was, it was one of two things. I'm looking for a guard that's 6'4", 6'5". That was one thing. Another thing was is that, well, we already got a state team. I know PRC actually had like a team that had won the previous year. And they were trying to repeat, and I said, well, they ain't really have no place to put me in. Then after PRC, going to junior college, I went to William Carey, and I tried out with some people, Eric Fortenberry, Jonathan Sims. It was a couple of us thought we were going to make the team, and I played along with them, but, you know, they didn't add us either. So by that time, it's like, you know, it was frustrating because that's something I really love to do. But it's just like, okay, Lord, what else? It's something else that you want me to do, something I love to do, but you, at the same time, you want me to do your will as well. So that's how I got to the point now of, as I'm going to continue on with this conversation, as now that I always wonder why I love basketball so much. Because look, man, I still got VCR tapes of some of my favorite basketball players. I still got basketball cards. You know, I have bought the jump soles, the shoes that make you jump higher. I did all these things, right?
Yeah, it is.
When it seemed like it was taken away from me, God rerouted me into a way that I didn't think, because when I went to school for a major, I wanted to be in sports medicine or physical therapy, whatever. But I know William Carey didn't offer that, and they had like coaching, whatnot, not like coaching and teaching. That's something that I really didn't want to do. But it was something that was always in me to do. So, I accepted it and I did it, whatnot. And God had dealt with me in dreams about coaching. It's a funny thing now as I look back at it, that I was coaching at West Marion. You know, I don't know if it's just assistant or just head coach.
Wow.
That's where I'm at right now. You know, I did East Marion. I said, Lord, you showed me West Marion, though. So a few years after that, I came back to West and give back. And I became assistant coach at West and started coaching at West. And pretty much everything I've been taught and I've applied, I'm trying to instill these into these kids today. And they know that, too.
You know, talking about sacrifices, I'm going to go in backwards order now because, man, you led me here to a different part of my questioning. But it says, you know, talking about sacrificing, it's always been ironic to me that for every person, every relationship or every job or anything that we thought we lost, God has a tendency to replace it with something better. Yeah. One of the better things that I did notice, and you kind of talked about it, that God placed in your life is an opportunity for you to return to the same high school that you came from and to coach the next generation of student athletes. Can you talk about that for a moment?
Yeah, man. One thing about it in this new generation now, I will say it's a more challenging thing because everything's convenient. Everything's in the palm of my hands now. And everything's like a microwave society when it comes to your kids. But what I have to do as a mentor and as a coach and as a teacher is kind of walking through the process of sacrifice. Because I tell them a lot of times, I like, man, I spent hours of the game of basketball. Like, my folks had to make me come inside because I'm still shooting ball from 12, 1 o'clock at night. Working job, trying to perfect my shot or try to perfect a move or, you know, or watching or learning a game, whatnot. And, that, you know, those intangible things may seem small to people, but those things are very important, especially film. I was a big person on film, still a big person on film today. And as the old saying goes, it said the bird's eye don't lie. So, watching it from a view of, I didn't really just watch, when I watched film of myself, I really didn't watch how I made this shot, I did this move, oh, this highlight. Don't get me wrong, I watched the good, the bad and the ugly too, and the things I did want to see that make you cringe, but at the same time, you watch that, you correct that, and you become better. And that's the biggest thing for them, not just for just a game of basketball, because when I teach them and mentor them, especially with coaching, I said, for me, this is bigger than basketball. I said, I'm trying to instill like principles in y'all, morals in y'all, integrity, character is a big thing now, and learning the skills that need to be taught, or for the kids to be, you know, to be like a sponge for the wisdom and information I'm ready to share with them. That they can tackle the things on whatever career they may be, nursing, welding, whatever they need to be, but they will be, you know, groomed and developed during the time, their early ages, to the point where when they go on to the world, they'll be like, man, I'm ready for this, because look, me transition from high school to college, man, it was a wake-up call for me. Those kids, I'm like, look, I'm gonna plant this seed in you. Mm-hmm. So when that time comes, then you will know, like, okay, Coach Aaron did say this, or he did teach me this. Or when it comes to the kids, because I'm big on the kids, man, because giving back, you know, we come from a community where, you know, we had teachers and coaches, whatever, not throwing those shots at anybody like that. But I just feel like I'm passionate and have zeal to the point where I'm trying to give them the best opportunities possible. Just like me and Coach Newsom, we coach together. We talk to people. You know, it's big. You know, you understand how big it is about connections and knowing people, sir, and whatever to help these kids, man. Because if we don't do that, especially with a technology era we in, we can send film with a, you know, in seconds, you know, send footage in seconds to the point where we can get these kids to the best positions of colleges or, you know, majors or whatever it is possible. So that's what I'm passionate about, man. It's like, and there are times that I might have even sacrificed more time at the practice or at school, or, you know, might pull away from the curriculum maybe a little bit to help them, you know, teach them about real life things. So just like, you know, kind of had, like you say, segue, or, you know, kind of, you know, tie things together. That's the most important thing right now. There's nothing wrong with, you know, the curriculum that we have, whatever, but at the same time, we want these kids not to be, you know, to be shocked or unprepared for what's ahead of them.
And I think, honestly, that's a part of the conversation a lot of people are afraid to have with young people. It's like, you can be gifted, but you also have to be the right person to walk through this door. And I can tell that God placed the right man in position as you're mentoring these kids. But just real quickly, have you had that moment as you're coaching and you look up in the stands and you see your mom and dad cheering you on? Have you had that surreal moment yet?
Yeah, I actually have, man. And, you know, makes it even better, they come to the game and support me coaching and everything like that. So, and that's the biggest thing too. Even to this day, they still support whatnot. So, and you know, I don't have kids of my own or anything like that, but these kids know, because I came up from that, you know, from parents that encourage and support and love you, whatever like that. I do the same things for those kids. Even if their parents come or not, I try to be their biggest cheerleader, you know. There'll be, you know, don't get me wrong, that there'll be times for a correction and I might have to get on to them at times, but I do it out of love, because I don't want to see them, you know, in any harm's way or hurt, or be so naive or gullible. At the same time, I don't want them putting down on themselves, you know, or discourage themselves, whatever. I'm big on, like, look, we going to pick up from where we are. We going to continue to move forward. Yes, you're going to turn the ball over. Yes, you're going to miss shots. I tell them all the time, Curry missed shots. Jordan missed shots.
Every once in a while.
Yeah, every once in a while, they miss shots. They turn the ball over. They make mistakes. They have mental breakdowns and, you know, defensive lapses, whatever like that. But they still going to stay engaged. As I said, and that's the biggest thing for these kids now, is that a lot of them, it's a lot of peer pressure now. You know, it's a lot of things that we didn't think about probably till we got a little older.
Right.
Everything seems like it's just more advanced and sped up now. So we really have to do the groundwork now and have certain conversations that you probably don't want to have. Like, our parents didn't really have to have for us, maybe till later. We really have to have those conversations with these kids. Like, man, going to elementary, coming to junior high, to high school, it's that advanced now. It seems like everything accelerated now, you know. So we don't want them to accelerate in that way. We want them to accelerate, you know, in a positive way, whatever. But, man, that still ties to where, like, in a game, when I'm coaching, it brings me back when I was playing, because I remember when out of all the people that was in the bleachers, in the stands, whatever, it's only one voice out here. My mom.
Wherever there are shadows, there are people ready to kick at the darkness until it bleeds daylight.
I'm Rodney Olson, the host of the podcast Bleeding Daylight. Every week, I host inspirational guests from around the world who have overcome life's struggles and are making this world a better place. Hear how they've refused to let their past define their future on Bleeding Daylight, wherever you find podcasts or at bleedingdaylight.net.
This is a blessing to even just have that, you know. Even for the kids that don't have that, I try to be that, or there may be some other parent or guardian be there that, you know, they do their part as well. So that's very important, man. It really is.
And I'm going to be honest, brother. I've never shared this with you, but my vision for you was for you to have gotten drafted by the Knicks. Every once in a while, broken like a jersey, a signed jersey, you know what I'm saying? Maybe, you know, you and Melo do your thing, but it was very more clear that God had a greater vision for you. And as I'm hearing you talking and just pouring out your heart, it blesses me. But I did want to know, as God began to make it very clear to you that he had a calling on your life, just real quickly, what was that process of transformation like?
Man, I'm just going to be honest with you. I ran for a very long time. I know the Lord was dealing with me with experiences, with conversations, with dreams, whatnot, but I ran. But it got to a point where everything that was convenient for me, everything that was comfortable for me, everything seemed like that was given to me, if I can pray about it or, you know, think of it, whatever. It felt like I just got put into a, you know, to a corner, whatnot, until I had to just submit because I got tired. You ever seen a hamster on the wheel? It's just running and running and running on the wheel, but it wasn't going anywhere. I ran, but I wasn't going anywhere. I was pretty much running in place. So for me, just loving ball, whatever, to the point where I didn't have junior year in college, I started to have that taste for it. You know, I had that drive for it anymore because I really want to play, and I just kind of accept the fact, like, man, I'm trying and I'm working, and nothing seems to be happening for basketball. But at the same time, that was like in 2007, but at the same time, God was dealing with me, and that was the same year I received my salvation, that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. So that was a transition from that to, man, it didn't take long for that. It wasn't enough to say, okay, Lord, I received my salvation. That's it, you know. But no, Lord had a bigger plan. Man, and I remember one dream back in 2009. I'll never forget it, man. I was sitting in the congregation, whatever, facing the preacher, whatnot. I was sitting way in the back. And he was preaching. I mean, he was preaching, man. He was preaching. But in the midst of his preaching in the dream, as he was preaching, he stopped and he just looked at me. And his voice I never heard before, man. I can't even describe it. He pointed at me. He said, "You supposed to been up here." Like a roaring. I can't even describe it. And it woke me out of my sleep, man. And ever since then, I just had like sleepless nights. And it kind of made me think about the sleepless nights I was having. My dad was having those same things before he received his call. And I'm like, "Lord, y'all are not calling me. I know you're not calling me to do this." And you know, we have all type of excuses. Like, "Lord, I can't really talk around people. I'm too shy. You know, I don't talk well. I might have a speech impediment, or I don't know what to say." All these things that God already had went before us and just dealt with.
Yeah, our own limitation.
I was like Moses, you know, or Jeremiah. I may be too young. I'm too young to do this. Man, no.
You were Lord, in your mind, he called me.
Right. So, I never forget, it was back around April 25th, 2010 at noon, man. I just broke down. I said, "Lord, whatever you call me to do, and I know what you're calling me to do, I'll do it." So that
I remember us having that conversation.
Yeah, that hunger for basketball and everything, then I had a new desire. You know, don't get me wrong, still love ball. I still play to this day. But at the same time, that's when things began to transition. And, you know, it was a whole new focus, a whole new taste, a whole new desire. And that was really just doing the will of God. So I have a two-part in one. I can preach and teach and whatever God had me to do for the will of God. And I also can enjoy the hobby and the thing that I was brought up on as well, and that's the game of basketball.
And to me, it's so crazy how what you did corresponds with who you are. Brother, I wish I had a whole lot more time because I've been at a feasting table, eating steak, prime rib, and my vegetables. You've been giving me some good stuff. I want one sentence to answer this question.
Okay.
But I got two more questions for you, and I'm going to pull the curtains on this, and we're going to go our way. But it says, if nothing else, that you hope to your kids, the students, the kids that you mentor to get from you? What's that one thing you want those kids to gain from their time with being with you?
Soak in like a sponge as much wisdom you can get from me as possible.
I like it. Last question. So every episode, I always like to end on a high note. And this is a question that I ask every guest. I don't let them run from it. But as I ask this question to every guest, I basically ask, if you had an opportunity to go back in time and minister to your younger self, what would you say?
Oh, man. I'm looking at my 18-year-old self right now. And for me, it's don't fall for what's going on in the world. Just stay locked in for what you've been taught in your own household. And everything will be given to you. But don't go the long route of heartache and pain and suffering. Well, some of it may be needed, but don't put yourself in harm's way. Just whatever focus and goals that you have, stay focused on those things. And if you lose friends, loved ones, whatever, you know, that's life. But at the end of the day, you continue to strive for the ultimate prize, the ultimate goal that you have in life.
I got to be honest. It blessed me when the idea was put in my heart to give you this opportunity, because knowing you, I remember the first time I saw you dribble a basketball, I was impressed. And this is coming from a brother that has lived all over the world, you know, playing in New York and Jersey, Connecticut, and various places. But I knew there was something different that allowed us to be drawn together and to be, you know, iron to each other's iron throughout life, and to support the various missions we're doing. For anybody that's listening to this podcast episode and has been blessed with your content, I do want to give you one more opportunity also to talk about something you guys have coming up. Give it a plug for our Louisiana and South Mississippi listeners that may want to support you guys. Talk a little bit about what you guys have coming up on March the 4th.
Okay, on March the 4th at New Harvest Worship Center, we have an annual pot competition at Columbia Water Park. Of course, that's 49 Dean Grinder Drive, Columbia, Mississippi, 39483. And everything will begin at 7 a.m. It will end at 4 p.m. And, man, we have, like, a planned menu. Whatever you think about, from wildlife to soul food to it may be even Jamaican food in there. It's unlimited food that goes there. But they will be judging the pot. You know, they have, like, your turkey necks and shrimp and your corn, and it have different things. Pig feet, I know most people big on pig feet. They have those type of things. They have participants that are there to be judged at the end, and they'll win a trophy, of course, and sometimes they might have other prizes. I know sometimes people will donate just like a blower or lawnmower. It'd be a whole bunch of things that goes on out there. And also there'll be people that there'll be vendors there as well that be selling different things like clothing. There may be furniture, of course, food and desserts and all kind of things you could think of. So the fee for all participants is $35, and you will have to reach my dad or Ted Watts. We're going to be the person. If anyone have any question, concerns, please contact Ted Watts at 601-441-6494. Again, at 601-441-6494. And we'll be looking good to see you. And also, before I end, I know Anthony is a big 49er fan, y'all. So this, and they win the Super Bowl, I probably won't hear the end of it, you know. But what you need to do is wear your jersey or NFL gear or attire for this event. So I'm going to support the Who Dat Nation, you know. We ain't going to speak too much on it this year, but, you know, I'm going to stand bold and tall, you know. But please, I mean, as colorful as can be out there, man, represent your team, come out. And we're going to talk noise, of course. But, you know, our motto is we are all winners when we are having fun. Simple.
And with that said, guys, you've heard it. Here again, another knockout episode with bright lights that are shining in the community doing positive things, having conversations, we need to be having more of. So until the next episode, like, share. If you love this content, put it in the ears of somebody that can be blessed. Be blessed.
So if you've enjoyed today's content, I'd like to encourage you to like, share, rate, subscribe this episode, and be sure to find us on all platforms. Support, support, support. With that said, you guys have been blessed, and this is another episode of the End Zone Club Podcast.